Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Crit RPG podcast, the only podcast that invites people who sing ballads about people with weird names for a really long time and had a lot of breath. With me today is Nord Flood, or Puddles, the author of the Ballad of Renedy Ghosthound. Hi, how are you doing?
Great, how are you? I'm very happy to be here.
That sounds so like through clenched teeth. I am not holding you at gunpoint. For the record.
I am safe. I'm not blinking at all. Please.
Oh god. This is off to a great start.
I'm genuinely happy to be here. I always never know how to approach randomly as a story, even though I made it.
That is very ominous because you're writing it.
I did recently, finish. So it is complete. Like the whole of it is done, slowly getting released. But I have to do a couple of epilogues. But I've got to an end.
What? Okay, I will be honest. I didn't know that. I didn't know that these stories could have an end. This is heresy.
I know. I think because it's only on the finish is only on Patreon as of yet, and I'm slowly releasing in other places that it hasn't quite percolated to everyone. But I mean, I started in 2017 and now it's 2024, so it did take quite a while. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I mean, we should start at the beginning. Sure. I just want to know how you got started with Renedy Ghosthound. I mean, before the show started, we already talked a bit. It's in the bonus material on Patreon. But I want to know, how did you get started? What went into it and the entire story? You can start singing the ballad now. Let's go.
Just like start from the first notes. Sure. I think... The reason I got started was I was working a very stressful job with a lot of overtime, and to sort of cope with that, I was reading a lot of translated web novels mostly. And then as I did that, I slowly percolated into the Royal Road, genuine web fiction English space, and really thought, like, this is really cool. I love this. I love how easy and fun. Like, I had grown up gaming and also reading a lot, and like the joy of watching a character improve or evolve really spoke to me. Like, it was people talk about guilty pleasures, and not that I think RPG is a guilty pleasure, but it was like finally I understood people who loved, I don't know, like home renovation shows or reality television. I was like, this is the popcorn satisfaction that I really, really enjoy. But as I read more and more, I developed opinions on how they should be going. And eventually I was like, okay, I can't handle this anymore. It's my turn. I want to do this. And so I started writing. Randomly wasn't my first story. A close friend of mine, I would usually write like, I don't know, maybe 30 to 50 chapters of a story, and then like send it to him, and he would give me feedback. And then I would be like, I don't really like this one. And then eventually I found Royal Road and started posting a story called The Great Tower, which I genuinely love, and always mean to go back and revise and redo. But I got to like the end of the first big climax where he's climbing the Great Tower and he reaches the 10th floor and has to fight a big boss, and a bunch of stuff happens, and it just became overwhelming a bit, like the plot things I had set up, all the different elements. It grew too much to manage. I became more stressed about it than it was cathartic.
Okay. Which was bad because we're still working at the job.
Yeah, because I was still working at the job, and it was just a hobby. So I took a break, went on hiatus, which is a cursed word in the web novel space.
This is second strike. First finishing a novel and now hiatus.
I know. How horrible of me. I didn't even think about the readers at all. I was just like, no, I need space for my mental health. And then
I know the title of where... the, I know the title of the podcast, Norbert Flood doesn't think about the readers at all.
Yeah, quote me on that. Yeah, that'll be the tagline.
Really won't. I'm sorry. I really won't. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. And so hilariously, after The Great Tower went on hiatus, I was like, I just need a low key story that'll just be fun for me. And I'll just do it real quick. And my whole goal will just be to have a fun story that I finish. And that was The Legend of Red Deadly Ghost Town that I started. In terms of fun for me, I really loved writing Randidly because I loved the system. Like, I put the most work into making the system sort of like feed into itself in fun ways. So the leveling and the skills and the paths like all come together. And I like that system building brings me a lot of joy. And so when it came to like characters, I was like, I don't really care. Randidly is just some guy, he uses the spear. Let's just like get going, have stuff happen. And that's how it began.
Nice. I mean, the tip of the spear puns make themselves.
There's a lot, cool. Yes. There's a lot of thrusting. There's a lot of...
okay, I didn't even go there. Wow, okay.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, it's fine if you want to go there, that's cool. Yeah, like I said, I spent the entire day today walking around with a very sarcastic friend, so I'm in this certain mood. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. No, it's okay.
Okay, good. Well, if you can handle it, then that's fine. How Ren did you come up with the name?
So I'm somewhat embarrassed by the name Randidly Ghost Town because the friend I was talking about earlier, who I'd always send my early stuff to and get his feedback, his like video game avatar was always Randidly Ghost Town. That was like the name. And so it was cool. Honestly an in joke with him that like, oh, I just made your character the main character in this thing. And the second part of that joke was that eventually, and especially now that I've finished with The Legend of Randidly Ghost Town, that like 2474, I think, is the last chapter, that I would, the Randidly was just the first of a two-part series, and that I eventually come back and use my main character, or my avatar, video game avatar's name, mm-hmm. to make the second main character. And I am exhausted by the prospect of that. I probably will come back eventually to the universe, because I ended setting up some things that I want to dig into, but mm-hmm. that'll take some time.
I mean, ready. Oh yeah, for sure. But I promise you, after you finish the story, it will ghost hound you.
it is.
No, I think. Yeah. I think actually you should. You said you were ashamed of it a little bit, but I do believe you can actually be proud of that, because that's actually pretty cool. I mean, it's a statement to your friendship, right?
Yeah.
And please don't tell me right now, like, oh no, we're no longer friends, because that would hurt me a lot.
No, we're still best friends. I think it's more embarrassing when I meet people outside of the lit RPG space, and they're like, oh, you're an author? Like, what do you write? And I was like, Randidly Ghost Town. let me tell you about this.
And then people ask the usual question, like, oh, so like a choose your own adventure book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get you get that a lot. And I was like, no, I would never let you dictate where the plot is going.
Because we established already you don't care about the readers at all. Like,
because I don't care at all. Very I actually good. Thought recently that it would be kind of fun to do, like, because I when I was a kid, I loved the Goosebumps sort of like choose your own adventure books. I think it'd be really cool to do one of those for lit RPG. Because of how in genre stories are so much longer, it would be so much harder to have satisfying arcs that you could follow different pathways. I was doing I don't know if you've ever done like text-based games. So I like used Twine to build a sort of like text-based web novel writer simulator, where you would like put in your main character's name, choose from a couple different like themes, and then it would generate text for you. And and like you had stats that you like became better at different scenes and could unlock different scenes.
Cool.
I mean, as perhaps revealing, like I love system building, so I was just like making different ways. But it also turned into like a lot of work on the side. So I eventually fell off on that. But it's something I might want to return to now that I have more free time.
Does it include readers who don't quite closely read your book and then criticize you for not including something you totally did?
Yes. There was a function that after you posted a chapter, you would get like reader comments, and it would be partially dictated by like your current average rating based on other stuff. But then sometimes it would just be random negativity or random positivity that didn't make sense.
That's great.
I tried to add a lot of realism in the system, which is exactly why it became so much work.
Well, that's actually pretty cool. There's a very easy to learn text-based language that's for the Choice of Games. So there's this company called Choice of Games, and they made these multiple choice, well, games, I guess. My favorite one is Choice of the Deathless, which is set in Max Gladstone's universe. Really fun.
Oh, interesting.
And it's really easy to learn, like really easy to do that thing, but there's no stats or anything. It's linear. You go through these little things and they cross over sometimes, but yeah. But I applaud you for the effort. Like, are you also the kind of person who just like sits down and goes like, hey, this could be cool, let's try it?
Yeah. I've done a lot of mock-ups of board games because I've always wanted to make like a board game equivalent of a couple of things. One is I want to make a roguelite poltergeist game where you're ghost haunting people and you get better and learn different ways of becoming a ghost. And the other one is like I love Fire Emblem, like tactical RPGs, and I want to make a board game version of that. But it's a lot of effort, and then playtesting, and it gets to be a lot.
Mm. For sure. I mean, like, but everything worth doing in life is a lot of work, right?
Sure. What's worth having is worth working for. But yes. I only have so much time to pour into things.
Exactly. I mean, the question here is obvious. I mean, after you finish Rendered Late, what's next?
Yeah. So what is next for me is I'm going to start. That was actually what I was doing today, setting things up to... Mm. Start my next sort of lit RPG universe story. I have about 40 chapters written, and I'm gonna release it, I think, more slowly than I did randomly. I've sort of learned my lesson about burnout. And so we'll make a more sustainable schedule up front, and then while I have that, I think I'm gonna work on some other fiction outside of lit RPG projects. And those, like, I'm excited to get some writing down on those because they've been ideas that I've nurtured for a while.
That's awesome. I mean, there's several follow-up questions that is actually transitions well into the next question. But first, do you want to talk about burnout? Because it's always a topic that I kind of want to explore on this podcast a little bit, because it is so important to writing. And also, I think if any readers are listening to this, also important to readers, because, yeah, I'm doing this podcast to inform about not just, you know, writers and writing nerds, but mostly also like to offer a platform where your readers can get to know you better and kind of understand how you work.
Sure. For me, burnout is... I almost have like a love-hate relationship with burnout because I was an attorney before writing, and I think the sort of hours and work ethic required for that translated really well into writing. It helped me like be very disciplined about how I approach the process, but also that discipline and sort of pushing yourself and constantly trying to deliver is how you begin to go down the road to burnout. So I think, well, okay, three responses. First, personally, I am a extremely stubborn person, and I have a habit of buckling down in the face of a problem. Like, I'm like, yeah, this sucks, but I want to finish this, so I just won't think about this until I'm finished. And so for a lot of years of Randidly, that's sort of what I did. And it,
yeah,
there were some highs and some lows, because some parts of the story I really, really loved, and that would fuel me, and other parts felt more like work. And I mean, as now writer, author, like, it is work. So I did not really consider that to be the warning sign that usually it kind of is, that when it starts to feel too much like work, you need to, I don't know, take a step back. Which I guess leads me to my second response. The big thing with burnout for me is usually it's about like outputs versus inputs. And so if I'm outputting the same, one way of delaying burnout, once it happens, it's kind of like you have to take a break. But to delay it, you could just like increase input. So reading other stuff, watching movies, interacting with people, having life experiences, like creating a fertile field of ideas that you can repurpose to your story, I think is really important for handling the process of burnout. Rather anecdotally, I remember once a couple of years ago that I don't really have any feelings about this, but I had a friend who was really into tarot reading, tarot cards.
Oh, okay.
And they gave me a reading, and it was all I got was flipped up, reversed arcana, the big ones. And essentially, what the reading boiled down to was like, give yourself some more credit. Stop being so hard on yourself. And like, this was like in the worst burnout period of Randidly. And it was so funny that I got this reading. And my main response was like, well, if I'm not hard on myself, who will be?
Yeah. I mean, like, who else is going to put me in my place? Like, how am I going to work?
Yeah, exactly. You get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of hustle things.
Oh, man. No, like, yeah, I don't want to talk about too much because this is your podcast, but I definitely got myself into like two burnouts, like really big ones, both from work, because I care too much. I'm an agile coach. I go into organizations and they hire me to make them better, but some of organizations actually go and they say they want to get better, but they really don't. And it's really tough to figure out what they still want and what they don't want. And also you get gaslit a lot, right? Where people are like, I want you to do, like, you have complete freedom to do whatever you want, as long as it is what I want you to do. And I'm not going to tell you what to do either. You have to find out by trial and error, and I will yell at you if you get it wrong. So that will get you burned out too. And without any writing, which is great.
Yeah, and then you add the writing on top of that, and suddenly it's like a whole vicious cycle.
Like you, for me, writing was an escape. Until it wasn't. I mean, that sounds ominous, but it got better. I'm really enjoying this. So.
I think we've both gone through the different stages. I don't think you can ever protect entirely against burnout, because I don't think you should. I mean, this is like a weird philosophical stance to take, but I think burnout is like an opportunity, because you are exhausted and overstrained, you become really, really sensitive. And that sensitivity is painful and like makes everything seem like a hassle. But it also sort of like, you know, if you learn to read it, you're like, okay, even though I am very burnt out, like this part of my story still appeals to me. Like, I should lean more into this. So I try to, even when burnt out, I try and use that burnout to like improve.
which is that's like next level. That's some back shit.
This is what happens when you write for 7 years on a story. You just like develop coping strategies that may or may not be healthy. I haven't asked.
Use your burnout to fuel more burnout. That sounds healthy.
I know. I mean, when you phrase it like that, it sounds bad, but I always like to think that there are times in life, I'm not a person that sort of always tries to be happy. I sort of like to feel the whole spectrum of emotions because I think happy emotions and sad emotions go into your characters. And so when I'm feeling relatively strong emotions on either side, I think of it more as like I'm condensing little this sounds horrible, little like nuggets of coal, either happy or sad nuggets, and then I have them like waiting so I can toss them into the furnace when I'm ready to write about those things.
Absolutely. My favorite, I mean, like, who would we really be authors if we weren't looking for the comments under our stories that we could post the emotional damage gif on? Right? Would we really? Because this is what it's about. Like, even the most wish-fulfilling stories have their downs, because otherwise it's just boring. I mean, you can't laugh the entire time because it hurts at some point. Your pain receptors kick in, and you literally run out of, I think it's noradrenaline, one of those things, like, or endorphins, and they just stop working, and then suddenly everything hurts. So you do want to have some downtime. You want to have some sad moments to, you know, calm down and relax.
Yeah, I think what you said is very important to RPG as a genre. Sort of pivoting from burnout, because I was like, oh, even talking about it, like,
oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
No, it's okay. I don't mind. I was just following impulses. The thing that I always look for in lit RPG is sort of excitement. Like, what am I excited to happen to next? What am I anticipating? What am I looking for? Whereas I think most non like genre fiction stuff worries more about like tension. Like, but I really enjoy lit RPG, and sort of, honestly, romance to a lesser extent does similar things, that like this, it makes it very clear, like, oh, you're excited for this. Like, this is the next big thing that's happening. And I really love that, one, the anticipation, and then how an author or a good author will like twist what happens so that it's not exactly what you expected, but like a little bit better. Like, nothing is ever quite as predictable as you thought it was.
I need to write this down. I always forget, like, because I'm trained as a regular author. I studied creative writing. Now, for me, I always forget to dangle the carrot. The biggest part of the RPG is the whole, like, this is going to be really cool once we get that super cool new power, and then we're going to obliterate everyone. Right, or item or whatever. And I forget that sometimes.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I know a lot of lit RPG authors, and I've asked to like look over or like early parts of stories to like give feedback. And one of the common things that I say is that the clearer you make the system and the way the system, if you are in a system lit RPG world, but it works the same more in more progression fantasy, the more you make that clear as organically as possible, as early as possible, the more the reader will do the work for you in terms of like knowing what they have to be excited about. Like, if they know that, like, I don't know, like when you condense your mana core, to take a cultivation example, like, people often evolve, like, I don't know, random elemental affiliations with their mana. Even if you don't lay it out explicitly, the reader is thinking like, oh my God, when the main character hits that, what is that going to be? And so like it becomes like they will do the work, and you don't really have to dwell on it.
That's a very good point. Like, we were already talking about being hard on yourself. And so my novel's doing fine. But every time, like, I've been listening to you, and like these last like 10 minutes, I'm sitting here going like, oh, I've been doing that wrong, and that wrong, and that wrong, and that wrong. And now I'm like, oh God, no, I'm such a failure. But no, it's fine.
I was like, you are definitely not a failure. And my methods are obviously not the stratosphere of the genre. I have a lot of very particular opinions about the way things are.
You're definitely up there though.
I like to joke that I'm the smallest of the big people in the genre.
To quote the immortal words of Jack Sparrow, but you have heard of me, right? It's like, no, I get you. I totally do. It is very, very hard. I mean, I've talked to enough authors, big and small, to know what it's like. I even know it myself, right? You're so focused on the next big thing that you kind of forget how far you've come.
Right.
I mean, people mention you in the same breath as First the Fire and Sherdaloon. So I think you're okay. Just my opinion.
I am okay. I will say that this was undercut slightly. Not that I have any problems with sort of self-identity or imposter syndrome relative to where I am, but like that when nobody understands, because I think when I introduced myself to people, I use my name and not Puddles, the handle. Mm-hmm. So people like don't associate me with Red Diddley. And then several authors like came back to me hours later. I'm like, oh my God, you wrote Red Diddley Ghost Hunt. I was like, yeah. And they're like, I didn't clock that at all. I just thought you were some random guy. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, yeah.
This is gonna be so great. I have the unfortunate benefit that people like know what my face looks like now. I'm definitely thinking about going to Dragon Con.
You should come. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be a long flight and first half year of a new job, so I'll see. But I will probably do it. It's not going to be that expensive, anyway. But people will know me. They will know my face, and it's either going to be like lots of people leaving the room when I arrive, or people who know me but I don't know them, and it's gonna be like, how are you doing?
Yeah, anyway.
I mean, like, I forgot strange. People's names the entire time, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But okay, so you mentioned that you have new projects, obviously beyond the entire like non-writing stuff, but obviously in 4,700 chapters?
No, 2,470, I think.
2,470. Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously. Oh, yeah, that's so much smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
You have obviously learned stuff. So what's one thing that you learned that you would... And we're skipping on purpose, or coming back to on purpose, the biggest advice you've ever got. What's one thing that you learned that you would change if you were to do it all over again?
I think I think I would really just take more time at the beginning to think things through. And that's not like a fun answer, because I am like in the plotting versus pantsing debate, I am a pantser. And I think some of my favorite things that I've written come from like almost writing myself into a corner and then just like sitting in that corner and thinking like, okay, what tools do I have? How can I like get out of that? And then like, so not knowing the answer. And so that my character's surprise is genuine, because I had no idea that this thing would happen this way by the time I get through. But as I say that, I think that, and this almost goes back to the burnout thing. There were a lot of times where I would approach plots, especially after like a big plot closed and I moved on to the next one. I would take sort of like give myself maybe 10 chapters or so to just like explore and do some slice of life stuff, which I really enjoy. I think I also have a lot of opinions on pacing in Lit RPG, so I like to see like normal people struggling with like Lit RPG systems and stuff. But sometimes those would begin to drag. And I think one of the big problems of Rand Diddley as it is that there are like huge pacing gaps where I didn't know exactly what the next big plot was. And so like, I think now when I approach the writing, I definitely like make sure I nail down like what direction we're headed. And then I sort of pants, like I go vaguely forward and like find my way. I don't outline with any sort of detail at all. But I think doing it again, I would be much more like, okay, at least have the main thrust of the And I think this goes back to my other point too about what readers are excited for. Like when I didn't even know what was happening next, like there are definite like pacing chasms that you're just like, what is going on? What are we doing? So I would do that differently.
For sure. Yeah, that sounds great. I have my own struggles with, I don't quite know where I want to go next. So let's just like draw this fight scene. Sure. That was not a good idea. But to be fair, I had burnout at the time we were talking about it. So definitely knowing where you want to go and knowing where you want to go allows you to leave the current scene. Right.
Yeah.
And just move somewhere else. So I have strongly begun to waver from my pantsing obsession because I love pantsing because I used to be a plotter and I just plotted myself to death. But after finishing one. You know what time it is? That's right. It's a new ad. And this time I have two amazing stories for you to check out. First one is my friend Saving Throw, who writes a story called So When Am I a Hero? It's a system apocalypse that is quite frankly amazing. I don't like system apocalypses usually, and I devoured that one. So go and check it out. There's a link below the podcast. The second one is from another friend of mine, because I have two friends, called The Infinity Dungeon by Reject Humanity. Premise is actually pretty cool. Guy goes hiking on the Appalachian trails and stumbles into the only and first dungeon in the world, and he's the only person on Earth with a system, at least for a while. All right, go check him out. I appreciate it a lot, and I'll see you next time. He's a new size book. I definitely am like, I need to think this through next time. Definitely resonates.
Yeah. And I just, one last note, in defense of pantsing, that should be the tagline. I think when you sit in a scene and you just describe the things that are there and happen, sometimes you can discover things that, like, if you would have thought about it, you'd been like, oh yeah, of course there was, you know, this thing, there was this tree over there, or there was this thing. But oftentimes, then when you hit a snag later, you can just go back and look at the things that you saw and you're like, okay, well, we can involve this or you can do this. And so I think like what's really valuable in pantsing, especially when so much of lit RPG, because of the sort of the way releases are structured, it's like a lot of content very quickly. So you sort of hurtle forward. But if you have these little like touchstones that you can come back to, I think readers appreciate that. Like knowing that the things that you talk about and bring up are important later, but it also helps you like solve your problems when you write yourself into a corner. Just like look at what you put there and like, okay, I guess these are the handholds I have to use to climb out of this.
What helps me in that regard is I sometimes use rolling outlines, so I kind of like at the bottom of my current chapters write like things that I still need to do. I started using a second document for it, and that really helps because I can expand them as I go and then kind of like go through them. But I also have a separate document where I write down things that are possible. Not like, oh, you need to remember that this and this person has this and this power, but just write down that it's possible that they might have that power, because that's that's far more stimulating than having a set thing that you still need to do. So I have like a 5-page document of like things that my main character could have, like realities that could have been possible, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I was like, should I be asking you questions too? I let you dictate the course of the conversation. No, okay.
No, like this stuff we can for sure do in the bonus stuff after the podcast is over, where I'm a bit more free about this kind of stuff. But the main podcast, which is on YouTube, that everyone can enjoy, I kind of want to keep about you, because this is what people tune in for and not little old.
Okay.
Yet.
That was a deep noise.
What do you mean? What's the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer?
I mean, this is an unsexy answer in writing, which is such a sexy field, I guess, but just...
Yeah, a whole bin is full of women, to quote Romney.
The answer is just write. Like I remember getting a lot of messages, especially on Royal Road when I was starting out, and when Randidly was sort of the biggest thing on Royal Road, and just because of longevity and the amount of reads it had. Just people were like, how can I become you? And I was like, well, you can just work anonymously for 2 years, and then eventually people will recognize you. Yeah, like to put all this labor without any thanks. It's harder.
Step because one, I don't get a law degree.
I would not start there. If I could, I sometimes think about this, like if I could, if there was a rewind button on life, but after you let it go, your life was then on play again and you couldn't change anything, whether I would rewind, and I would probably rewind to like before law school and then just skip out on that and then go straight into writing. I would have to get like a different job in the meantime, but it would probably have been less demanding than the law was. But anyways, that's your original.
So you're
question.
Saying you fought, you would fight the law, but the law would win.
The law really did win for a long time. It was, I mean, perhaps it emptying my mind of all thoughts because of pure exhaustion was the reason I could jump into Lit RBG without any qualms or worries. I'd be like, yeah, sure, I could do this. I have no brain cells left to worry about like anxiety or imposter syndromes. I'm just so tired.
It's like, take it.
Okay. Yeah.
So your audience, take it. I don't care. But you're so okay. Your advice is shared by many writers, right? Just go and write. If I were to put you on the spot, would that be okay? And ask you beyond that, right? Because yes, we understand writing is important. You have to produce. You have to sit down and not just plot the entire time and dream about the things that you want to do. You know, don't let your dreams be dreams. Just do it. But beyond that, like in the regular life of an author, is there any advice you've gotten that's better than that, or not better, but like different?
So I think I'm going to take a roundabout way of answering this question. I think one thing that most people are pretty bad at is self-reflection. And so I think when I say write, what I am sort of saying is when you have your words down on the page, like it is an objective thing that you can look at. And whereas you might not be able to look at yourself, especially as you start as a writer, and say, I am good at this, I am bad at this, I need to work on this. When you look at the page, it sort of becomes much, much easier. And I guess maybe my answer to your question is going to end up being like, realize that what you write is you, but also isn't you. So you should not be offended when people have good and bad responses to it. To sort of like have distance between what you make and who you are. I was like, I maybe we'll save this for later, but I also have a lot of opinions on like the label of writer and author, because I think that sometimes like people get too distracted by that and they forget. So I think I say you should write because I think what you need to do is learn to look at what you're making and have like a pretty frank assessment about where you are and what you do. And the way you then get better at those things is by writing again. Like the easy answer is writing, but the hard answer is you just need to get better. And the way you do that though is by writing, by thinking, by reflecting, by editing all the, can I swear on this podcast?
I don't fucking care. It's a European podcast.
Okay. I was like, so all the shitty parts of being a writer, you have to do because that is what, like, it changes the way you look at writing. It changes the way you approach a scene. Because there's a lot of, you know, like a lot of us came through to become writers via translated web novels. And those nail certain things really well. Like, I think... Even now, like nobody can like build excitement like a like some of the Chinese web authors, like just like you're like, I know what's coming and I'm so excited for it. And of course, the main character is going to scoop up all of the benefits of this like special mission into a sealed realm or whatever it is. But like, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what they get. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the prose is pretty blocky. A lot mm-hmm. of the characterization is shallow. And not that you can't get by on those things, but it's, you learn, the other thing you learn via writing is what readers respond to by posting and like seeing their responses, like where should you put effort? Mm-hmm. And so learning to read your own writing and like have an opinion on it, learning to gauge reader engagement and interaction and figuring out what they really respond to. And then like looking at other people's stuff and understanding like what they're trying to do with plot or cool things that they're doing with power-ups or progression or like academy stuff. Like, so all those things are sort of related tenets of what you need to do to get better at writing. But it like the boilerplate answer is still just write a bunch.
I mean, like this has been a very good mix of just write and get good, which I appreciate. Yeah. No, I appreciate it because in the end, like when people, this has also been part of the question, right? There are many different ways that just writing can help you, and getting better at the craft definitely is one of them. I wouldn't have gotten as how do you phrase that? As much better, as gooder. I wouldn't have gotten as good as I am now, which sounds really arrogant. I wouldn't have improved in the same amount as I would have if I hadn't finished the book. Because going back through it and doing the revisions and doing the rewrites that people rightfully said you shouldn't do has taught me a lot. Has taught me a lot about writing in general, and I think my next book is going to be better for it. I know for a fact that my other next book is already better for it. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
And I had one other thought that'll be real quick. That the other good piece of advice is to learn how to, and this is not really present that much in the web novel space, but like learn to just cut, to get rid of words. Cause like the easier it is to read, the more people will read. Like, and more words make reading harder, like in a very basic way.
You are not talking to the right person for that. I love my flowery prose. I love it. I
love it too.
I'm a prose addict, but shout outs to K Novels, who read one of my sentences and was like, yo dude, in the time it took me to read one of your sentences, I could have read 10 more of any other lit RPG out there. Mm-hmm. Which is a hyperbole, but yeah, I kind of go in there and I love my rough process.
And paragraph breaks. Learn to use paragraph breaks.
because they get you more pages on KU.
I was like, not for that reason, but it is also true.
Yeah, paragraph breaks are hard in a way. I mean, what is even a thought? Like, how do you break it up?
So that's very philosophical. What is even a thought?
Yeah, I should also mention that again. I'm writing a postmodern novel, so here we go. We can talk about that in the bonus material.
We'll get to you.
Sure. I mean, it's not like my patrons haven't heard us like 50 times already, so here we go.
No, I guess that's true.
I mean, they're still paying, so I guess it must be a good thing. I guess it must be something
they like it enough.
Yeah, I guess it must be something that people pay money for to just hear me talk about my book. So you should consider, because it's probably to my Patreon as well. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
That was smooth. It was really smooth.
Yeah, like thank that. You. Like that real quick plug.
I'm getting better at these. Okay. Tell me about a book that you love and why is it awesome?
Okay. Speaking of flowery prose, I think my favorite book ever is called The Book Thief.
I think isn't that German?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read that in German. It was, my God, it was good. It, yeah. It's just death looking at a girl, right?
Yeah. Mm. And I was going to say that the two things that I like to, well, that I appreciate was that the sort of weird point of view, like a little bit like off kilter, still sort of functions as a regular point of view, but you sort of follow death around as he watches this girl. And then also just the beautiful lyrical, I think, sometimes you talk a lot, and this comes up more in the context of movies than I think books, but how dialogue is often not how people talk.
Yeah.
Dialogue in movies is sort of this polished version of the way people talk. So there's no ums or ands or likes. But in books, I think prose is often also not how people describe things. It's much more like ordered and structured to be for clarity. And while that's important, I think in Marcus Zusak in The Book Thief does such a good job of describing things the way people would talk about them. And it's just, it's such a natural, fascinating voice.
It's wonderful. It really is. Mm. It's heartbreaking, but also wonderful.
Definitely
Yeah,
it is such a sad book too. And incorporating emotional stakes into things is, I think, something very valuable.
Maximizing the amount of emotional damage inflicted.
Yeah. In a more, well, it's not quite progression fantasy or lit RPG, but I really have enjoyed Naomi Novak came out with a trilogy. The first book, I was like, I have it up there. It's called A Deadly Education. And it is one of, I think, the best paced things that I've ever read. It's in this sort of fantasy world where there are demons on Earth and children who have magic, and to protect the children, the magical children, from demons, they send them to this underground school called the Scholomance. And they are educated there essentially by the sentient school, because no adults can come in. And in this world, every magical child has a sort of knack. And our main character's knack is that she is the greatest like evil sorceress to have ever lived. Like, she could bring calamity down upon people. She tries to learn a spell to clean her room and like develops a spell that would like salt the fields and destroy the towns of an entire country. Like, just like a huge hyperbole in everything she does, and she's just trying to be like a regular student. But like, it's fun, satisfying, well-paced, like really fascinating stuff.
Isn't Novik also the one who wrote Temeraire?
Yeah.
I love Temeraire. Whenever people ask me like, what's a good character, or how is good characterization done, I think about this captain that I forgot the name of, unfortunately, but you know, they always like, it's very, they always have their uniforms, and his entire ship, which is basically this like aircraft carrier size thing that would like dragons land on, like just sunk, and he's invited to a dinner, and his biggest problem is he doesn't have a green jacket. So that's his, like, this is his biggest issue. And that's such a good characterization of this character. So, yeah, for sure. The Temeraire series is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And could be a good little RPG basis, you know?
Yeah, I like, there's the there's a lot of places where I'm like, oh, this could have been lit RPG. You just need a couple of numbers here. And that makes sense.
Yeah, and like focus more on the progression, right? I mean, one of my buddies, Sean Wilson, or Dad's Bad Time Stories on Railroad, he just recently he's been doing it for a while. I wrote this book called Dawn of the Last Dragon Rider, and he's been finishing it. You don't see that many Dragon Rider lit RPGs, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that sounds interesting.
Mm. For sure. But let's go back to you. So we might actually talk about something else. Like, do talk to me about the label of author, writer, and your idea about that.
I think I've met, I think, you know, when we were talking earlier about people who ask for advice on writing, part of what they're asking is how do I become a writer? How do I become an author? What is the shortcut that I could take? And I sort of have two responses. I was like, oh man, shortcuts are dicey. And two, if the external label of author or writer is what you're looking for, I think you're gonna spend a lot of time very nervously holding on to that. And I get why people want to do these things. Like it is so satisfying to like have created a world and being able to share it with other people. It's great that this writing, something I enjoy very much, and also fantasy worlds, lit RPG things that bring me so much happiness, I can now have a career doing this. But I the I sort of fell into it backwards. Like I was talking about earlier, that I was an attorney, that I was working hard, that I started it in as a way to feel something, like it was first a hobby and then slowly took over my life. That I never really made the conscious choice, like I want to be a writer, I want to be an author. It was more like, you know, financially, I was making enough money that I didn't need to do both anymore. And I was like, okay, well, this one makes me so much happier. Like writing gave me so much more fulfillment. Like, and that is what I'm going to follow.
Which is
And
great.
so I think,
No, it's all
would you,
yes. It, this is great.
but for people who have had, because I had really never written before, I finished law school and I started reading web novels a lot more. I'd always been a reader, but I never really, writing never appealed to me. I think almost out of laziness that I was like, oh, this seems so hard. Like I would never do this. And then I think reading web novels really made me realize like, oh, like this is a approach. This is a sort of pace that I think I could handle. And that's how I got into it. And also, I mean, this is a little afield of your original question, and I'll get back to it. But I think for me, the reason that I embraced being a writer more fully is I sort of realized that I wanted to like pay it forward, that the previous generations of authors, like I was a lonely kid, I spent a lot of time in the library, and so much of my younger happiness was tied to reading these books. And I was like, oh, I want to be able to provide that for the next generation of people. I want to be able to like give put something out into the world that they can read and really believe in magic, or that they're not alone. Like that is what I really wanted to do. And so I think that there are noble aspirations in writing, but you can't lose sight of, I don't know, why you love writing in for the label of it.
There's one constant that people say when they're asked like, hey, why, how do you become a writer? The first question is always, do you want to be one? Right? Because let's be real. I mean, I talk to, you know, you, Zorgar, Throdlun, Raven's Dagger, people who write a lot. Who write a lot and earn a lot of money. But chances are, if you are a writer, more often than not, you will earn more money at McDonald's. Right? The like look at how many stories there are on Royal Road and how many of them can actually, you know, earn a living. I think it's like fair to say the first 100 maybe out of Royal Road stories, and there's over 10,000 st now that's bullshit. There's a lot like 6,000, 7,000 stories up there, so it's a minuscule amount. And you were earlier saying like it's such a cool feeling to share. Everyone wants to share the world, share these ideas. And here's the thing, you can do that now, right? If that is your hang up, you can go to Royal Road and you can post a story today. No one's stopping you. Certainly not John. I mean, maybe John, like if you write like, I don't know, porn, like porn. But
yeah. I actually did that today. I put
you
the,
wrote
the,
porn today.
Yeah, I wrote a little bit of porn today before getting on that, just to get in the mood before the interview. No, I
ouch. Okay, nice. Thank you.
I went to Royal Road and submitted for like the next story, so I had it ready when I was ready to post.
Do you want to tell us the name?
Oh, sure. It's going to be called Bring on the Leisure.
Ooh, Bring on the Leisure?
Leisure, yeah.
Or the ledger.
Leisure, like ooh. Leisurely.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Or kind of like a leisure suite?
Kind of. It's going to be, I mean, I guess I'm not like trying to hide it from anything. It's going to be more of a monster evolution lit RPG.
That's so fun because it's such a juxtaposition with the title. Like Bring on the Leisure and then Monster Evolution. Okay, fun. Human MC or Monster MC?
It starts a monster. I think he'll, I mean, maybe move towards a more humanoid, but mostly monster. But I think it specifically focusing on eventually getting to not like base building, but like city building, trying to create a leisurely monster paradise in the wilds.
Mm. Nice. That sounds pretty fun.
Okay. I want it to be fun. When I set out to make it, I wanted to have it be more humor centric and more relationship centric than Randidly Ghost Town.
Will it be harem?
No, I don't think it will be harem, but I'll try and make romance more of a emphasis.
Okay. Which is, again, another sin on Royal Road, and that's three strikes. So... No, we were talking about Brian stuff earlier, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really enjoyed that kind of like awkward romance fumbling. I do understand many people don't. And it's because harem lit exists and harem lit RPG is a thing, and people like to put things into categories. It's very hard to straddle that, no pun intended this time, between like the harem stuff and the lit RPG stuff. Writing something that has romance in it and still isn't harem is hard, especially if you want people to read it. So most people, I've tried it, I've started a story like this, and people are like, this is really good, but you shouldn't publish it. So, right? Because it's hard. Because like the harem people will be like, oh, this is not enough smut. And the people who don't like harem will be, oh, this is too much smut. What can you do?
Yeah. I think in my case, like I'll always have such an emphasis on like system improvements and like combat, that while there will be more arcs that are more centered on relationships, that like it's a minute amount compared to everything else, and like just to up the amount of romance that Randidly had would not be difficult at all. Like there was a couple of smatterings, but it quickly faded as I got distracted. So just
yeah, I mean you could be putting the Randy into Randidly.
Oh man,
that one writes itself.
Yeah, yeah. You promise puns.
And you I haven't even started.
the pun after party.
The pun after party. Yeah, you can check out on Patreon if you want to endure suffering and come join our Patreon. No, I don't think that's a good tagline. No, but to finish the thought I had earlier, right? So you can start writing today. Writing is a good thing, but don't do it because of the money. The people who earn money off of this, including Norit, are scarce. They have this really tough combination between writing a lot and luck. Right, so writing a lot, being good at what you do, and then writing luck. Like many people don't know that Shorterlin wrote like 4 years before he published He Fights the Monsters. Zolgoth wrote 2 years just on his own, just for himself, before he published Prominent Hunter. Right, I think he recently, there's been a bit of a kerfuffle right now. It's going on Facebook
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that?
Yeah. Zogarth is so funny.
and I understand Zogarth's point. I really do. He does write for itself, and that's part of why it's so good. Many people don't understand that. You do have to write for yourself. And then also write something you love for yourself that also will fit into a market. And then you're good. I don't know. What do you think? You are not.
I sort of agree with you that, like, man, like I mentioned a bit earlier, that for me it was 2 years about of writing, just like Zogarth, where like it didn't matter. I didn't really get paid. Nobody cared. And then steadily that changed, but it takes a lot of time and effort, both to get noticed and develop a following, and also to improve what you're doing, to like develop your voice, figure out your craft. And that 2 years of Randidly, which was, you know, my second story. And so like, I probably wrote for 2 years before that without anybody seeing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. You have to be determined, and you can only get that determination if you're doing something you love. Right. So if you want to be a writer, you have to want to be a writer.
And that's why the advice of like, just write a bunch is so important, because you'll figure out very quickly whether you love it or whether it is not fun.
Oh yeah, totally. It's also, the only advice that really works. I mean, specifically, what are things that you should be doing while you're writing? We covered that though, right? Because it's kind of like saying like, hey, I want to be a carpenter. How do I start? Like, just carpet.
Yeah.
or carpent, I should say. But yeah. Okay. I think we are about at the end of the main stuff. But first, shout outs.
Man, I should have prepared more for this.
That was fun.
It was like, I don't really know who's releasing things. I guess I will give the one shout out to Actus, who just put out the Runebound Professor, the first book on Amazon, and really enjoyed reading through. I love magic, and it's more progression fantasy than lit RPG, but I really enjoy magic systems and the way in that story, both the main character's sort of like gimmick and the way that the different runes interact with each other, and then like combine to form more powerful runes. Like it's really cool. It's a great system. Mm-hmm. And also I probably just, cause I guess that was in the earlier part and not the main thing, but the Brian Norton, the Quest Academy, like so fun. Had such a great time reading through those two books. And honestly, when I read through both of them and I realized the third wasn't out for a while yet, I was very sad.
Yes.
I don't like waiting.
Also, just to make sure people know this, no, it's not harem. Quest Academy is not a harem book. It really isn't.
No harem.
Yeah, because people keep asking. But okay, those are very good points. Those are very good recommendations. No, look, they're great recommendations. I mean, do you have a smaller author that you also want to shout out now that you mention it?
I should have prepared more for this. No, nothing comes to the top of my head. There are a couple other people who I could shout out, but their stuff isn't coming out for a while. I was just like reading their earlier stuff, so I don't know when they come out. So
by the time this podcast is out, it's going to be May anyway, so we'll be fine.
I was like one of my friends, Andrew Givler, is going to come out with a pretty cool sort of Roman Empire progression fantasy magic series that I'm super excited for.
Yes. The three kinds of liturgy. Modern day, fantasy, or Roman Empire.
Yeah.
sci-fi doesn't exist. And modern day, by the way, means apocalypse, liturgy apocalypse. You can't have any urban fantasy liturgy. What are you talking about? This is crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Yeah, why would you do that? Like, I don't get it.
Okay. Well, in that case, this is it for the main part of the podcast. Norbert, any last words?
I think, like, thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun. And I love Lit RPG and talking about Lit RPG. And I very rarely am talking with people that sort of like get the genre as much as you do. So like, this was a great time.
I mean, we'll continue doing this in the after show.
Oh, man.
So there's more where that comes from. Also puns. I could try that one out. Like, people have, I don't think many people know the story because it's not on KU or anything, but There Is No Epic Loot Here, Only Puns is a really good Dungeon Core novel. Like, really good. You should check it out. All right, with that being said, thank you everyone for being here. Do like, subscribe, follow the channel. And if you want to give me a rating, that would also be great. A comment for the algorithm. You know how this thing works. Like, I don't need to tell you this. You know the drill. Besides that, you can find the link to all the books that Norit recommended and also my Patreon and my books and other things, blah, 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 down below. And with that being said, thank you everyone for listening and watching, and I'll see you next time.